You're listening to the Westchester Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ.
Well, I just want to welcome everybody out. It is great to be here. Happy summer. Happy 4th of July weekend. I hope that everybody has a great time. I was able to go to Montana for my mother's 87th birthday. It was spectacular.
All of us gathered together to share the fortunate to us, the legacy she's left to us, and all of the powerful memories that we have. So it was a very wonderful
moment. It was really wonderful. And thank you for the prayers. It was a really great celebration for her. I want to celebrate today God's creation. Now, I have a little request. You're going to pick your neighbor. Now, if you're left out, it'll be three, but ideally two, just whoever you're sitting next to.
If it has to be three, then it can be three, but pick two. And what you're going to do, there's two questions. The first question's pretty easy. The second question's harder, but I'm not going to tell you the second question until you ask your neighbor the first question. The first question's easy. Okay, you ready? You've chosen who you're going to ask? You're going to ask each other, what is your favorite color? That should have been an easy question. That should be easy. Okay, you ready? I have to ask the second question. Time for the second question. That should have been an easy question. If it wasn't, I'll pray for you. The second question is, why is that your favorite color, but you cannot answer because, or I don't know, or wow, is this loud up here? So again, you have to explain with sentences why that is your favorite color. Okay, go. Okay, hopefully everybody was able to share. What was really encouraging is I saw some people like really getting into this. And I appreciate that because that's what we're going to talk about today. Some were baffled by the question. They know their favorite color, but they don't know why. They simply would say because. That's just something short. And so, but to be able to have that much enthusiasm about blue or about green or about any color that you've chosen in between, teal or periwinkle, to be able to have that enthusiasm is good. Okay, now, if you feel comfortable, close your eyes. If not, I have some questions, some other questions. So if you feel comfortable, close your eyes. If you don't, you can just stare at me. Okay, picture this. Taking in a dramatic sunset, sitting on your favorite beach. What does that feel like? Picture it. What does it feel like? Next question. The flavor of a juicy apple you just plucked from a tree. Picture taking that bite and the flavor and the juiciness and picture that. How do you feel? The next one. Picture the first bite of a warm Belgian dark chocolate souffle. Picture how amazing that is. Picture the next. The loving touch of your spouse on a tough day. The loving touch of your spouse on a tough day. Picture the smell of fresh roasted coffee brewing. Picture the view from atop the Continental Divide at Logan Pass in Glacier Park, Montana. Or whatever substitute you can come up with. What do all these things have in common? They bring about amazing emotions, just wow, gratitude, wonder, awe, even inspiration, and ideally, worship to the Creator. So let's talk about inspiration. Turn over to Psalm chapter 19, Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2, we know this verse. Many of us have it memorized. It's talking about language. Psalm 19, 1 and 2. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. The heavens declare, the skies proclaim, they pour forth speech, they reveal, declare, proclaim, pour forth. When you have speech and you have knowledge, what do you have? Language. And this isn't just any language. When we're talking about the heavens and the skies and what God has created, it's not just any language. We're talking about God's inspirational language, that what God has created is inspiring. And God's creation, his inspiring languages, go far beyond what we're just seeing in the blue sky, the white clouds, the green trees, or the things that we talked about, the flavor of a juicy apple, or a warm Belgian dark chocolate souffle. We're talking about languages like touch, or taste, or smell, or sight. Like any language, we can be aware of in a language. I'm aware of Lithuanian. I don't speak any Lithuanian. We can be aware of a language and not speak even one word. We can be conversational language. Many are conversational in Spanish or other languages. We can be fluent even in a language like English or Spanish or Portuguese or Japanese or many other languages that are Arabic that are represented here. What is God's desire for us in creating all of this out of nothing? All this wonder and beauty. Why so many colors? Why not two or three? Why so many? Why the wonder? Because God wants to have our relationship with him, our worship to him, in awe, that we are in wonder and awe of God when we look around. Perhaps we need to get more multilingual in the languages of God. Let's talk about wisdom. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4, there's a call to wisdom here. Because if we're going to talk about enjoying all that God created, there's an interesting scripture here in 1 Timothy 4, 4. 1 Timothy 4, 4 says, "For everything God created is good." Do you believe that? Really? Mosquitoes and ticks. Yeah, I struggle. This says everything God created is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. So what it's saying is everything God created is good. No good thing should be rejected. God is good, and all things made by a good God are good. But there is a problem. Satan. Sin. Desire. And abuse. Only God can create. Satan cannot create. Only God can create. All Satan can do, Satan can't create. All he can do is twist. He cannot create. And Satan's goal is to take all of good, all of God's good, everything God created that's good, and just twist it to make it bad. His goal is taste not, touch not, enjoy not. Is created material bad? We're afraid to answer. Well, this is an important question. Because what a good creator creates must be good, because God is good and God is love, and what God creates is, so is created material good or bad? It's good. In Genesis, God created, and each day God created and he said, this is, and then the next day, this is, and the next day. All that God created is good, but it can be twisted. It can be abused. Fortunately, today we see much sexual abuse, substance abuse, debauchery. Many things can be abused. I'm not sure if you can abuse color, but, or the smell of coffee, but what God created is good. It's not to be twisted. What God created is for our enjoyment, not to be twisted, but for us to enjoy and to celebrate and to worship the Creator. To be joyful. It's the demons that don't want you to celebrate God's good creation. The demons don't want you to enjoy God's fruits, what he's created. They want you to reject the material joys and focus on the distortion of good. So unfortunately, when that goes all the way there, what we have is asceticism, which is the brother of Gnosticism. And you may remember in the first century, in the second century, and third century, the biggest heresies came from Gnosticism, where they said matter is evil. All matter is evil. Now, self-denial is not wrong. Jesus said, when you fast, he did not say, if you fast, he said, when you fast. So their self-denial is good within the context. It is absolutely good and right. But if we're not careful, we get into a culture of Gnosticism. Taste not, touch not, material is to be avoided. Look over in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20. Colossians 2:20. Since you died with Christ to the elementary evil spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belonged to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations and deeds have the appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. So there's good self-discipline and self-denial, and then there's excessive that can become false doctrine. And Satan's entire goal is take away our enjoyment, take away all the good, the enjoyment of all that God created. And what that does is it leads to reduced gratitude or potential pride and abstinence. Look at how abstinent I am. I deny myself so much. It can lead to pride, and it robs us of all the gratitude of what God has given us. The bite, what's wrong with taking a bite of a fresh apple and saying, wow, is this ever awesome? Or taking a sip of freshly brewed coffee and going, wow, this is great. We contend Satan wants to take away all our joy. Oh, no, don't enjoy. Taste not, touch not. You're just eating for subsistence. Rather than letting us rejoice with God in all that he has created. It's only Satan's goal to take away enjoyment. And food taboos are the opposite of enjoyment to the bounty of God's creation, aren't they? Not celebrating God's bounty means that not only would we miss an incredible opportunity to celebrate with God, our entire concept of God is at stake here. Do we view God as a stingy, taste not, touch not? Or do we view God as an extravagant, enjoy, celebrate, rejoice? For me, it's important because I realize to have a full relationship with God, to really worship God, I have to be able to look around at what God created and enjoy it. We have many struggles in our life. I struggle with chronic pain. And I need things in my life to celebrate. I need to be able to enjoy a piece of toast with butter on it. Or a piece of bacon that may not be good for me. But I've learned that everything with bacon is good. You may not be a good cook, but you throw bacon on it, it's awesome. Wow, I want the recipe. I need things that I can celebrate with that keep me humbled. Like the sky. I can get puffed up. I can get tempted by looking at what I am doing and saying, oh, that's really good. And I know that's just wrong. Anything good I do is God, not me. I need to get humbled by the creation. I need to get humbled by enjoying all these things, because when I do sip a cup of coffee or take a bite of an apple or have some bacon, I realize how amazing God is. I get so much enjoyment from the senses. I feel so filled, so fulfilled. Wow, it just increases my wonder and awe of the benevolent God we serve. And it is so much more powerful and encouraging to serve a benevolent God of infinite blessing than a stingy, false version of taste not, touch not, do not, enjoy not. So I have a question. Do we celebrate God's creation? Do we? Do we? Well, we're saying yes, but do we? Or do we just have pet things we celebrate and other things we don't? We don't dare go there. Because God celebrates. He celebrates the creation. This is good, and this is good, and this is good, and this is good, and everything God created, and this is, and this, and this. It's all good. Go celebrate. Do you know how much money he asked the Jews to spend on these festivals that are commanded in the Old Testament? 10% of their income. Can you imagine having a festival where you had to spend 10% of your income? Where do you go to buy such food? Whole Foods, I forgot. But you'd have to have the best of everything. You'd literally have to find to spend that much money. God is into celebrating. God is into enjoyment. God is into this stuff. Now, I understand how we can go to the taste not, touch not. I get that because of abuse, and there is abuse, and that is real, and we have to address that, and we don't want to push that hide that under the carpet. But we also can't define God's creation by the abuse. Then Satan wins. A dramatic sunset sitting on your favorite beach. A juicy apple you just plucked from a tree. A well-made dark chocolate Belgian souffle. The loving touch of your spouse on a tough day. The smell of fresh roasted coffee brewing, or the view atop the best view you've ever seen in your life. This is a lifestyle of thanking God, and it is a very powerful path to understanding God more fully. It produces a gratitude-driven life, which is very powerful. And may I add, essential to our knowledge of Him. Donald Guthrie said, "Those who cannot thank God have no knowledge of Him." And I tend to agree. Satan wants to rob us of our gratitude, and God wants us to celebrate with gratitude. Who's winning in your life today? We all have so many struggles, so many battles. All of us have walked in here battling and battling and battling. And we need things to celebrate. All of us are going through trials and difficulties that can be so deep, so discouraging, so distracting. We need things to celebrate. Even if you say, the only thing I can celebrate is my morning cup of coffee, then by golly, celebrate that morning cup of coffee. Amen. Let's celebrate all the senses, the sense of taste and smell and sight and shape and touch and color and sound. this all started coming together for me when I was flying back from Brazil a month and a half ago. And if you know anything about geography, when you fly from Brazil to New York, you are flying which direction? Straight north. And I happen to have a window seat on the right side of the aircraft, and so those of you that are good with directions know what happened. These are all overnight flights, which I hate overnight flights because I can never sleep. And of course, the stewardess has put all the windows down because they don't want anybody to wake up. But at 4:30 in the morning, at 40,000 feet, going due north, with a window seat on the right side of the aircraft, you may have figured out what happens when you decide to open the window. Now, I had been working at 4:30 in the morning. When I had been working on a class that I was to do in Pelham that day, and I had unfortunately procrastinated working on this class, and so though I do not sleep on aircraft, I thought, well, I'll just do it on the aircraft. I still had procrastinated and waited till 4:30 in the morning to work on my class. Now, I had been working on my class, just to say in my benefit, I had been working on the class. But this is what happened, is I wasn't finished with working on the class, and this is the only time I could work on the class. So I was working on the class, but I got distracted because when I opened up the window, it was all black except for one very, very thin, very dark, very rich line of red. It was the beginnings, the very, very beginnings, the genesis of a 40,000-foot cloudless sunrise. And I started looking at that line change and grow, and the reds turned into vibrant reds and oranges, and all these other colors started coming up, and I was just captivated. I said, this is the most beautiful sunrise I've ever seen in my life. And I got caught up in worship, and I started praising God for color and praising God for just blowing my mind away through a window at 40,000 feet. And I just was just in worship. And then suddenly, bam, it hit me. I'm supposed to be working on my class. And I felt guilt, and I felt convicted, and I felt wrong. And so I shut the window as if it were sin, and I went back to my class. And then another thing occurred to me. Something's wrong with this picture. Is that sin? So I opened up the window again. And I felt guilty again. And I struggled for, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes or more. Is this sin or not? Because this is the only time I can really work on this class, but this is one of the most awesome worship experiences I've ever had in my life. And then I realized something's wrong with me, that I would consider this sin, that I would consider this amazing sunrise sinful. Am I really being debaucherous? Is this really wrong? Is it really wrong to worship God in wonder and awe for an hour and a half and just put off my class and trust in God that God will make it happen? And I thought, I think that I've been wrong in many areas of my life. This is just an example of that. Maybe you can relate. I just think of how God is amazing. The diversity, the creativity, the design, the wisdom. There are thousands of new species of living creatures being discovered every year. Scientists estimate that there are 10 million species yet to be identified, which represents five times the number of species that have already been identified. That is amazing. I said a couple weeks ago in the park, there are 6 to 10 million types of insects, over 100,000 different species of trees, 10 to 15,000 different types of birds, almost 6,000 different types of mammals, and what creeps me out the most is there are over 100,000 different species of lizards. God, why didn't you create one or two? Why 100,000? And why on earth did you create mosquitoes and ticks? I don't get that. For scientists that look into microscopes and they can go really, really deep, it's a spiritual experience. The cell is irreducibly complex. Let me just quote from one science journal. The cell is the most detailed and concentrated organizational structure known to humanity. It is a lively microcosmic city with factories for making building supplies, packaging centers for transporting the supplies, trucks that move the materials along highways, communication devices, hospitals for repairing injuries, a massive library of information, power stations providing usable energy, garbage removal, walls for protection, city gates for allowing certain materials to come in and certain materials to go out of the cell. Wow. And all mankind has been able to see that for just a couple few decades. That just blows my mind. I believe we need to stand in awe of God's great creation. We need to stand not only in awe, we need to stand in worship. We need to be in awe, in worship, in gratitude, in wonder, and make it a life-changing experience. Stand in awe of his languages, all his languages, the moral law, mathematics, DNA, all of his wonders. Stand in awe of the large, of the galaxies, the thermodynamics, relativity. Stand in awe of the very small, the quantum mechanics. Both have an unreasonable effectiveness in the mind of the physicists. And I'm not a physicist. I'm just sharing information that I know that they have shared. But the big and the small are irreconcilable. God cannot be put in a box. The holy grail of physicists is finding the theory of everything, and they're trying so hard, it's turning into science fiction. Our God is a creative God. I shared a couple weeks ago out in the park about the anthropic principle, how all this just looks like it's all been monkeyed and tweaked with just for our existence, just for our being able to be here. If God can do this, he can do anything. And all of this wonder, the blues and the greens and the reds and the purples and the apples and the souffles and the chocolates and the coffee, all of this is the throwaway gift. All of this God's going to throw away as if it's grass burned in the fire. Then what on earth does he have for the next life? Wow. I can hardly imagine topping a dark Belgian chocolate souffle. But this I know, that what God has in our next life is so far beyond anything that we enjoy here. Anything. Language to describe it is impossible for us to understand. You know, I just turned 60. And, well, I appreciate the applause. I didn't realize I looked like I was really cool to get there. I want to learn how to be more grateful. I just want to grow in my gratitude. And I want to grow in my gratitude to the creation, sound, sight, smell, flavor, creation. Now, I want to grow in my wisdom, and certainly these things are abused, and I'm really grateful that we have the CR ministry, chemical recovery ministry, those who have been abused and suffer from the abuse of chemicals, of drugs, alcohol, nicotine, that we have that ministry, that you can go and get help with that, that you don't have to be enslaved by substance abuse, sexual abuse. And I'm so grateful we have our purity ministries, men and women, where you don't have to suffer with the slavery, sexual slavery, where you can get that help for that. And we want to be aware, and we want to be sensitive, and we want to be able to help one another so that none of us are caught up in Satan's twisting and abuse. But I realize that turning 60, I need help being more grateful for what is there and isn't twisted in my mind. These are not just pleasantries for me. They will change me. They'll prepare me for the future. When I enjoy all the gifts of God, then I'm not so interested in the twisted things. Because when you have so much fulfillment from what God has created that is good, you're so full, you're so filled, you're so in wonder, you're so grateful, you stand in awe. Then when Satan comes with the twisted stuff, you're not as interested. Maybe many of us, that's our issue. We get so consumed by the twisted because we're not consumed by the good. The material is not bad. Everything God created is good because we have a good God. You know, I think of, as a father, watching my kids enjoy opening Christmas gifts. And there's nothing like those ages, like, you know, from like 3 to like, I don't know, 7. Oh, 25. I appreciate your childlike heart. But, you know, as a parent at Christmas, the kids can just barely stand it, you know. And they're just opening up, they're ripping the paper, and then they, oh, you know, they see it, they're just so excited. Can you imagine how you'd feel as a parent, though, if your five-year-old, okay, a Christmas present, oh, thanks. I mean, how would Christmas go if that was, like, everybody's reaction to gifts, right? But isn't that what we do to God almost every day? Oh, yeah, thanks for the blue sky. Thanks for the white cloud. Thanks for the coffee. Thanks for the food. Thanks for the bacon. Are we that calloused that God surrounds us with wonders and we can just barely get out of prayer? I dare say you're under Satan's thumb or foot, and not God's lifting hands. So I don't believe I'm the only one that needs to change here. I think all of us need to grow in our appreciation for all of God's gifts. So that when God wakes up in the morning, he never wakes up, by the way. Yeah, when God drags himself out of bed. When you wake up and drag yourself out of bed, and you go and have your porridge or your gruel or your coffee or your eggs or your bacon. And you get in your car and start driving, and you see that blue sky and those white puffy clouds. I call them Pixar clouds because they look like they came out of a Pixar film. And you see that tree and you see those insects fly by that are really weird. And that squirrel or chipmunk running up a tree, that you'll just take some time to thank God. That your life will not be defined by your struggles and trials, but instead your life will be defined by your gratitude. So let us repent together. Let us grow in our appreciation for all of God's good gifts. Let's learn how to praise God and worship God through all the colors, all the tastes, all the smells, all the things that you enjoy. Yes, let us have wisdom. Yes, let us be in fellowship with one another to make sure there isn't abuse going on, because we can't celebrate abuse. But let's as well take that time to let our lives be defined by not what Satan says no to, but what God says yes to. Amen? Amen.
You've just listened to the Westchester Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit westchester.nyc.coc.net.